monsters.
I saw her. She is real.
Please meet Princess Aminette. She will claim what she has been denied.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the B-Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kautzer, and we are on the second half of our double feature aptly titled Space Vampires and Scorned Mummies. I'm really excited, actually, to talk about this film because I feel like this film has been unjustly maligned and just fucking hatred and vitriol thrown at this fucking thing. We're talking about 2017's The Mummy, starring Tom Cruise, directed by Alex Kurtzman. So we're just going to get right into this movie. This is a spoiler warning for this film because, the news has just reached us. I'm recording this in early December 2017. And if you're listening to this in the future, I would just love to know what has happened to the Dark Universe, Universal's attempt to reboot and interconnect the Universal monster movies with these movies that they've it's two strikes and you're out, guys, unfortunately. And Dracula Untold, which is a movie that I will not talk about, even though I have much love for Luke Evans. It's just not a movie that we're going to discuss. But this movie, The Mummy, I kind of love it, and it's super batshit insane, especially considering that this movie is now not a part of any kind of universe. This movie resides in this really weird, wonky place, like the Golden Compass or Mortal Instruments and any other like first movie to a bigger universe that tries to lay seeds of interesting, interesting plot points to be coming soon. So much so that the entire movie is a buildup to something that's going to happen in the Mummy sequel that we don't even fucking get. So let's go ahead and put this out right in front. This movie should have been, I really feel like, as it is, I adore it. I mean, it's an archaeological action adventure, so of course I'm going to love it. I love fucking Firewalker. And, considering things, I kind of wish that Tom Cruise would, at this point in his career, grow a mustache and remake Firewalker after watching this movie. Or, Jake Johnson actually gets the chance to remake Firewalker. And just somebody remake Firewalker, okay? With Tom Cruise, preferably. And I don't know. You could. I don't know who you could get. It would be. Oh, you know what? I already know. Ving Rhames. There you go. There's your cast, guys. But anyways, this movie. I never talk about how like my ideas for movies and my critiques of movies. Like, I just feel like it's not the place because the B-Movie Podcast is about love. And I do love this film, but I think that it makes one egregious error in which the movie should have, this entire movie should have been the first 35 minutes of this movie. Because the movie should have been sold as this: Tom Cruise is the mummy. Because it's essentially what ends up happening is that the movie is all thrusted to one fucking thing, is that the mummy, played by Sophia Boutelle, the very amazing Sophia Boutelle, who in a very kind of clear 1-to-1 ratio, her and Matilda May's space vampire could literally be cousins because of the way that they're portrayed. Now, of course, the mummy isn't R-rated, so you don't get a completely naked Sophia Boutelle, but you get as soon as she becomes fully powered, and then, of course, during the flashback scenes, this movie is not shy about showing off Sophia Boutelle, who used to be a dancer and now is an actress. And an actress I feel like we're going to look back on if she doesn't get her shot and go, fuck, why didn't she get her shot? She just had some really bad luck. Like, I mean, you watch her in the three like major releases that she's been in. The Mummy, Star Trek Beyond, which we talked about already, and The Kingsman, and she's this amazing physical performer. She should be in as many action adventure films as possible. You should be hiring her to do a US remake of The Villain. And if you guys don't know the movie I'm talking about, just go ahead and look up that movie. It's a fucking brilliant piece of cinema that is just been released, I think, on VOD. So go ahead and check it out. But that's the kind of things that she should be doing. She's that kind of amazing physical performer. But here she's kind of saddled with the whole Matilda May role, and basically her role is to give Tom Cruise superpowers. Now, of course, there's a lot of weird misappropriation with that shit. We're not going to get into that because that's not this, that's not our show. But we do have to comment on it. But, I mean, if you're going to do that, this is, like I said, this is my one huge complaint about this fucking movie, is that you condense that, like, you just give Tom Cruise the fucking mummy powers as quickly as possible so that you can make him into the mummy and you can have him go on to a grand adventure and you can have, like, a real bad guy, like, say, Dr. Jekyll, and you have Russell Crowe already there being this really wonky-ass bad guy, kind of not bad guy, Nick Fury sort of fill-in as Henry Jekyll, who... his interpretation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is actually quite... So basically, Russell Crowe makes Jekyll and Hyde... He makes Dr. Jekyll a posh British stiff upper lip type. But then he makes Hyde into this Cockney gangster that's like this Cockney gangster bully. And I mean, literally, I think at a couple of points he says oi oi. I mean, it's really fucking weird. This is the kind of movie that we're talking about. This is the movie that makes takes Jake Johnson and basically puts him into the Griffin Dunn role from American Werewolf in London. I shit you not. If you're going to get somebody in modern era to do that role, to play that, and it is literally a carbon copy of that role, because Jake Johnson does die very early in the movie. So you're left with, you know, this not imaginary ghost of Jake Johnson constantly talking to Tom Cruise. But unfortunately, he's not in various stages of decay. He's just this kind of zombie ghost thing that's constantly commenting to Tom Cruise's character. And it just, that would be my biggest gripe is, like I said, it should have been condensed the first 30 minutes. And then you could have totally promoted this as Tom Cruise is the mummy. I mean, come on. That's what you get to. I mean, it's like by the end when he becomes the mummy and you see him and Jake Johnson like ride off into the sandy hills of Egypt, or the sandy, dusty fucking desert of Egypt. You want to go along with them and you kind of wish that you had an extra hour with them. But you don't. But what you get in this movie is basically Life Force's like threadbare plotline taken and carbon copied and grafted onto a Tom Cruise action adventure film with some like really weird, strange, like, you know, horror elements. So basically, Tom Cruise and Jake Johnson play like these army civil engineers that got this con going on, and they end up in a town where they find the mummy's lair. And basically, through Tom Cruise's stupidity and hubris, he opens and unlocks the mummy's tomb, Sofia Boutella, Okay, so let me try to pronounce her name. Amanet. That is how it is pronounced. Amanet. Unlocking Amanet, and we get Amanet's backstory, which is basically she's this woman who thinks that she's going to be made queen in Egypt, and her dad, being a douchey douche that he is, marries some girl, has a baby, and she decides to kill the baby and everybody else. And so what do all good Egyptians do? Throw a curse on this woman and bury her alive. And so you're not supposed to take her out of the coffin. And of course, you know, if there wouldn't be a movie unless we fucking actually opened up the coffin or actually basically taken it out of its like chamber. It's in like this antechamber where it's surrounded by mercury, because mercury is this thing that keeps her powerless. If mercury isn't surrounding her or in her veins, she can become all powerful, which of course she fucking does at a certain point. But basically, they're transporting the coffin when Jake Johnson goes crazy. There's a big plane crash. Tom Cruise survives somehow, and it's because Amanet has cursed him or given him a little bit of her life force. Do you see how this is all fucking lining up with Toby Hooper's life force? I mean, it's really fucking weird. So much so that, you know, they bring him, the Tom Cruise character, who I think's name is Nick. It might be Nick, which is really weird because, I kept on thinking, like, when they were saying Nick, I expected, like, Jake Johnson to show up because, you know, we don't talk about the B-Movie podcast doesn't talk about TV, but, like, you know, Jake Johnson's in New Girl, and I really liked the first couple of seasons of New Girl, and he's kind of great in it, this great comic force, and his name is Nick in there. So, like, I'm always constantly, I'm like, okay, where's Jake Johnson? But he never shows up. But, yeah, so I'm just going to call him Tom Cruise character or Mummy 2.0. So, basically, they now are using him to track her because she's, like, on the loose. And basically contain her, but that doesn't help. And she tries to unleash hell. This is where Tom Cruise faces off against her with his mummy power and is able to save the day. I mean, that's the basic through line of this story. And it's, like I said, it's really creepy when you watch Life Force and you watch this movie, how many similarities there are, but how many radically different things there are embedded in this movie. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that one is a Toby Hooper film and the other is a film that is designed to be a Tom Cruise vehicle to make more Tom Cruise movies. But it's still really fucking fascinating. Like, everything with Russell Crowe in this movie is just like, oh my God, this is kind of insane. Like, what they're like, the needle that they use to keep Hyde at bay, like the way that like Russell Crowe is used in this movie is very Nick Fury. But you also have to remember that he is never going to be playing this role again. I mean, basically this is just a one-off now. Which is really kind of sad because I kind of want to see the following adventures of Tom Cruise as the mummy. I mean, I think that another problem with, like, maybe another problem might have been for people was that it's a movie called The Mummy, but they spend most of their time in London. Very much, it's kind of similar, like, they use some of the touchstone points of the original Universal monster movie as reference. But for the most part, it's just like this really, like, it's really weird how they, like, you would think that the mummy would be set in Egypt, but it's only like maybe the first 20 minutes. And then they move to London, like in the underground in like this lair. And it just, it's not until like the very end, like maybe the last 20 minutes, that it really opens up and becomes like this huge movie. But in a lot of ways, it's kind of brilliant that they do this, because it allows for some really, really strange stuff. I kind of love everything that happens, and how, like, one of my favorite things is watching Tom Cruise, who is, I mean, you know, he's like 53 or 54 years old, but they are trying to frame him as a younger man, like a man my age, between late 30s, early 40s. And I mean, the fucking guy has played this age range, I don't know, since like 1992, 1993. I mean, you know, he started playing in his 30s whenever fucking The Firm came out. And it's just, that to me is fascinating. I mean, so much so that Russell Crowe is younger than Tom Cruise, and he makes this weird joke about how Tom, like, it's not even a joke, it's like this Britishism or a quip about how Tom Cruise is a younger man, and how he doesn't want to fuck up, you know, a younger man and show him what's what. Fucking Russell Crowe is like fucking 3 years or 4 years younger than Tom Cruise. Like, let that settle in. I mean, that's the kind of madness that we're dealing with. But it's like, it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to deny the fact that it's fun, and it has one of my favorite touchstones in Tom Cruise movies as of late. And that is the movie relishes beating the shit out of Tom Cruise for the first hour and 45 minutes of the movie. And it's only like in the last 10 or 15 minutes does it actually allow him to like be Tom Cruise. And that's something that's like been a through line in Jesus, like the last, maybe with the exception of the Jack Reacher movies, the last like five action films he's done. I mean, the apex of it being Edge of Tomorrow, or Live, Die, Repeat, or All You Need Is Kill, whatever you fucking want to call it. That movie, I think I've mentioned quite a few times, is fucking brilliant. And that movie, I think, only tops The Mummy in its relishing of literally killing Tom Cruise over and over and over again. You know, the Mission Impossible movies have become this. I mean, they've gone from like these kind of cool spy movies to just Mission Impossible is Tom Cruise doing really fucking crazy ass stunts that we're all gonna fucking just look at and go, man, that motherfucker should be dead. And concussion, like, you know, in concussion time. Because what I loved about the last Mission Impossible film, Rogue Nation, was there's a section of that movie where Tom Cruise is literally playing concussed. He literally plays like he has some kind of severe head trauma. And I can guarantee you, I'm pretty sure that story point was probably something that came up either during filming of that, or maybe Jack Reacher, something that where Christopher McQuarrie was a part of, that he saw and he was just like, hey, Tom. Like, I'm sorry, I'm doing a Chris McQuarrie. That is such a B-movie thing to do, would be to do a Chris McQuarrie impersonation when only like four people are going to know what I'm talking about and what I'm doing. But anyways, but I can just imagine the conversation about him talking about, well, you know, let's make you concuss for a little bit. Kind of like that time back in Budapest or Bucharest, you know, something fucking random like that. Or like in Dubai when you hit your head against the wall, some shit like that, right? Like, I could only imagine. And then Cruz just fucking sitting there laughing and shaking his head like saying, yes, do it. And like that kind of bit, that whole bit in that movie is pretty amazing. I fucking love it. But it, like back to The Mummy, it's just a lot of stupid, goofy fun, and I don't know why people just hated on it so much. I mean, yeah, like I said, there is that weird appropriation, and this movie does have one really big through line, which I found really strange, was that it kind of plays out like this $200 million Fatal Attraction kind of like a play on Fatal Attraction by way of Life Force with this Universal Monster movie wrapped around it, because the whole time it's like the mummy is chasing Tom Cruise's character, wanting to basically bone him or bring him back, and she gets she's literally scorned when she realizes that, you know, Tom Cruise is like hooked up with Annabelle Wallace's character, archaeologist. I can't even remember her name because of the fact that the character is so disposable. But it is really funny to watch this kind of thing play out, and you just sit there. And if you're in the right mood and you have the right amount of alcohol, it's a lot of fun. It's like I sat there with Christina, my girlfriend, and we were sitting there, and I literally was laughing at this fucking movie because it was so much fun and it was so ridiculous. And like, you know, there were just so many questions that like I had and she had that just made no sense. And just, it's like I said, it's a lot of fun, but it's a little crazy and a little kooky and maybe not always the most appropriate, like, you know, culturally appropriate movie, but it is a lot of fucking fun. I mean, I think that people continually make Tom Cruise this underdog, and they doubt like Tom Cruise as a movie star and B, a man who loves cinema and who really aims and designs to make movies enjoyable. Like, I don't see any, like, he is one of the last great superstars out there. Like, when he goes, I mean, you know, when he gets to that point where he's not carrying films and he's going into like the Harrison Ford, Tom Hanks territory, that's it. We have no recognizable stars. I mean, the Chrises, the white Chrises from Marvel movies, I mean, I love them all, but I mean, like, there's just no, like, The Rock. I mean, The Rock is very, I mean, I guess he's the closest thing that we have to a superstar, but it's not like he is like Cruise in his 50s as he's heading into, you know, well into middle age, well into like, you know, his older age. He's still trying to push that, like, you know, giving us the best product he can, which I completely dig and love about him. I mean, I'm not a guy that will sit there and go, you know, Scientology, yada yada yada. That's not my place. Like his religious beliefs are his religious beliefs. I really don't care. As long as he's not hurting people, as long as he's not, you know, doing anything like that, it's good. And I like his movies. They're designed to please. And I honestly think that The Mummy is designed to please. And if you give it a watch, which I'm like, you know, I mean, I went all out. I bought the UK 3D Blu-ray of this movie. Like, that's how much I liked this movie. I liked it enough to get it in 3D. I mean, but like I've told you guys, the B-Movie Podcast, I mean, we love what we love, and I think that that's kind of like a factor into this. I mean, you guys can give me shit all you want, but I'm not going to be ashamed for liking this movie or falling in love with this movie, because it is one of those movies that I just have to go and go, I bow my head to and go, you know what? You're fucking crazy as fuck. You're committed as fuck, and you stick the landing that you wanted. It may not have been the ending and the ending that I wanted or anybody else wanted, but you wanted this one, and I got to appreciate it. And it's fucking entertaining. It's a mess, but it's an entertaining mess, just like Life Force. Again, like I mentioned that I got the Blu-ray, the 3D Blu-ray from the UK. I think it's region free, But if you don't want to, you know, spend that money, it's on sale right now on Amazon for like $15. I mean, as we're recording this, if you listen to this within the next few weeks, they're also having the Black Friday sale. So I'm pretty sure that this one's going to drop under $10. I can almost guarantee it because nobody loved this movie. Nobody's probably buying it. So it'll be one of those deals. Give it a chance. The worst thing that could happen is that it's another Tom Cruise movie on your shelf, or you go ahead and you send it back. You sell it at your local used DVD store and you get a couple of extra Blu-rays that you were eyeballing or something for it. So, I mean, it's a great fucking transfer. I actually listened to part of the commentary. Part of the commentary. Yeah, I did. It's a lot of fun. There's some making of featurettes on it, all aimed towards the whole thing of the Dark Universe, which is quite funny to see how they, like, you know, obviously this edition was made well before their decision to drop this thing like a bad habit. I really do hope that they find a way to bring the Universal Monster movies back, or the monsters from the Universal catalog, because they're, like, you know, the Universal Monster movies are some of my favorite horror movies of all time. I mean, they're beautiful, they're creepy, they're classic cinema, and if you can bring them back in a way that suits them, but is able to do it in a modern way, I mean, by all means, please. But just not this version. You can reach out to us Twitter and Instagram. The handle's BMoviePod, the letter B, the word movie, the word pod. All together, no lines, no dashes, no bullshit. Next week, we are changing it up. We're going to be doing an AFI diary. Like, I'm actually going to AFI Film Festival 2017. There's a lot of good shit out there, and I decided that last year I was going to do this audio diary where I talked about each of the films I saw after I saw them. I was going to do that, but it just got to be too much. But this year I am fully committed to doing it. So next week you're gonna probably get either one really long episode or maybe a couple of episodes broken up, discussing each of the films that I'm going to see over the course of the next week. And then after that, I have a really interesting special treat for you guys on Thanksgiving, or the week of Thanksgiving. But we will wait for that until that time. But it's all to say, tune in next week for some really interesting content, because a lot of the films I'm going to be talking about have not been released. Maybe some that may be never released, or they may be on the cusp of being released. Like last year, one of the movies I saw was Le Lure. I really didn't like it. It wasn't for me, but all the same, it's a movie that I had a strong reaction to. But I mean, ended up coming out and getting a Criterion release of all things. So, I mean, it's that kind of movies. There's a lot more out there this year. I feel like 2017's AFI feels a lot more stacked. I'm hoping to see some of the bigger movies of the coming up winter season. Specifically, I'm really looking forward to hopefully being able to see Hostiles, which is the Scott Cooper movie. He directed Crazy Heart. I'm also looking forward to seeing Bodied, Joseph Kahn's film about rapping and white appropriation and all this other kind of crazy 2017 shit that a lot of people are just fucking falling over and head over heels in love with. And it's a movie that I know is not going to be released anytime soon, as Joseph Kahn has made it a point to saying that he doesn't want to cut anything out of it because it is so vitally necessary to the movie. But I will definitely let you know about that. And of course, the big one, Guillermo del Toro's Shape of Water. That's actually what the opening night movie will be for me. That and a couple of other things. It's all to say, tune in next week where I'm making it a point to make this diary happen. So you're going to hear another change up. We're always trying to find new and interesting ways to give you guys content. So stay tuned for that. And again, as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your continued support. You guys make all of this possible, this weird, crazy, curated trip that we're on, where 1 week I could be talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the next week I could be talking about a failed Tom Cruise movie, and everything else in between it. So I really do appreciate you guys, and that's why we try to push the best possible content here on the podcast. So until next time, talk to you soon.